Genesis chapter 3. Yeah. And we all remember exactly. There's going to be a quiz. Exactly what was taught. No, it's not only a quiz, but verse 1. Anyone who wants to start? Matthew, we'll start back this time. All right, so at the very beginning, there's a word, right? The word is therefore. So whenever there's a therefore, we ask ourselves, why is it therefore? So therefore links the previous verses, the verses that have just been read, to these next coming verses, right? In verses, in chapter 3, 17 through 21, it talks about people who've chosen Jesus and people who have not chosen Jesus. You know, the nots, they focus their thoughts on the world, in the destruction, and in the end, there will be destruction. However, those who believe in Jesus, there's a promise of heaven. And because of that, because of the promise of heaven, that's what we have, is a promise of citizenship to heaven. That's why Paul has this therefore. Because Paul wants to encourage us to have that strong stand, that stand fast, because we have that promise in the future. You know, things might get tough, but with Jesus, we can make it. You know, and we can see right here, we can see that there's a close relationship with Paul and others, whether it be the Philippians or anybody else. Paul has that same reaction, but for the Philippians, he truly cares. It says, long for brethren. So it's somebody that, you know, basically feels like a family member. You know, you wish you'd have company with them. Now, future, you don't want to lose them, right? You long for that company of them and knowing that they're there. You know, they're Paul's joy and crown. So whenever Paul thinks of them, he always thinks of the good times, right? It brings him happiness. And then the crown he talks about, it's not one of a king, but it's one that there would probably be given to somebody, a winner of a race. So basically like a trophy or just something that he finds very valuable and glad he has it. He's very glad that he has that friendship with him. And then, yes?
Sorry, I should have done this before. Can I go get water?
Oh, yes. No, I'm good. Thank you. Thank you. So just two more. So Philippians chapter 4, 2 through 3. There's some hard words, names.
Key.
Right by you. Right by my briefcase.
Which one is it, though? You have many keys.
Oh. Jesse, would you please, is it up there? No. Oh, I'll get it. Here. It is the quick set on this one.
There.
Oh, no, it's the little, yeah. Sorry. Somebody did not prep so correctly. And then I'll forget my keys. I know it, but I'll leave them right here. So, Jesse, pretty good at pronouncing names. If not, I looked it up and I'll try to help you.
Okay, I am Philippians and I implore
Syntyche,
to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life.
All right, so Paul mentioned three women here. right? And I'll tell you what we do know and what we don't know. So in the book of Acts, right? Book of Acts goes through Paul's ministry, or it's the early stages of the church, and it also touches on Paul's first ministry trips, his second and his third. But Paul's pattern, whenever you go into a new place, is that he'd visit the synagogue on the Sabbath first. That's what he'd do. And then he'd also preach on Sunday, but he'd go on Saturday to the synagogue. And that's where he'd meet up with all the Jewish men. The first time Paul set foot in Philippi, he went to the river. He went to the river because that was custom to pray by the river on the Sabbath if there was no synagogue. Now, typically, the rule was is that they needed to be at least 10 Jewish males for them to build a synagogue. If there was less than that, they wouldn't build a synagogue. They'd pray by the river. So Paul meets up with this group, and this group was made up of a group of women. We know that in them, there was a lady named Lydia. You might remember the beginning of the letter. Lydia, she was the seller of purple. Maybe, we're not 100% sure. He doesn't give a list of names who was in there, but maybe these women were among those women. We do know, it tells us that they helped Paul to share the gospel, to build the church in Philippi. We do know that. You know, they were possibly elders of that church, meaning that people would have known them. And we know people would have had to know who these ladies were, because it would make no sense for Paul to name them if people didn't know who they were, right? So they were probably very well-respected leaders. We know this. And we know that Paul is not shy to point out if they got the gospel wrong, right? He's done it many times. He named groups that got the gospel wrong. You know, he's very straightforward. Now, it seems like there's a disagreement between Euodia, and Syntyche. And it doesn't seem to be like a gospel misunderstanding. They're not getting the message wrong. But still, Paul employs, you know, this is a strong hope to fix the problem. It's a very strong feeling. It's more than just, I hope. You know, oh, I wish this would happen. It's, you know, he employs. Euodica, and then he employs Syntyche. So he's not taking sides. We can see this. He's not taking the sides of one versus the other. It's kind of equal, right? He just wishes that they'd fix this. You know, so you might be asking yourself, if this was a small thing, a small problem, why is it in the Bible? You know, it's because thoughts unchecked can grow fast. You know, it starts out, Syntyche, she makes her chai different than me. Does my husband like her chai better than mine? Might be. Is she trying to steal my husband? Are they both out to kill me for the insurance money? Oh, I don't like this Syntyche. I hate her. I hate her with a passion, right? You know, yeah. It and then it escalates. Conflict is inevitable. It's going to happen. But combat is optional. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Cassia?
Catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines for our vines
and tender. Oh, they're talking about all cute little foxes, right? They're so cute. No? You don't think foxes are cute? I think I've heard that before. Yeah, because they're very cunning. They've always been known as a cunning animal. But, you know, they look so cute. They're so small, right? Innocent. You think of fog, oh, he's so cute. Yet, with a vineyard, when the grapes are very just about coming out, they're very tender. That's what Solomon's talking about. They're very tender. And if it's left unguarded, those foxes, however cute, however innocent they might look, will gnaw on the vines, right? And they'll try to get the grapes, and they'll destroy things quickly. There are times people, friends, family members, Christians, will disagree with each other. I know it's a shock. You probably never experienced this, but people disagree with other people. I know, mind-blowing. And there are times where our feelings are very tender. What? We get our feelings hurt, right? They're very tender. We need to be careful with our thoughts and not let them go wild. We need to guard them. We need to keep God-centered with our thoughts. Now, typically, we're back to Philippians, where typically Paul's letter, what'd they do with Paul's letters? Do you know? In the beginning churches, what'd they do with Paul's letters? They just post it or what? They would read them from the pulpit.
They would put them in a museum or something?
Not back then, because they weren't open. He'd be like, oh, hey guys, I got a letter from Paul. And then the congregation would be like, okay, that's good. Let's go on with something else. No, they say, let's read it. Let's read the letter, right? That's awesome. I want you to picture in 100 years from now, in 100 years, that your great-great-grandson is going through some documents. And they come across your name. What would you like him to find? Where would you like that name to find, and what kind of documents? Absolutely nothing. It makes sense that you'd want to be good, right? You don't want anything bad. It's your great-grandson, you never met him. Maybe, you know. So, you wanted something good. Now, after you thought that, that first day, they start reading Paul's letter. And just because you're the female, oh, I employ Jesse, I employ Cassia, that they be like-minded, that they fix this problem. Wouldn't that be awesome? You feel so good about yourself, right?
Sure.
What do the guys do? They point? No. As far as the guy. You know, Paul didn't do this to embarrass the ladies. He didn't do this. He loved them. He cared about them. And he wanted them to fix the problem before it got any bigger. Now, it seems like back in the day, people were a little bit more straightforward. Right? You see that? They were pretty much straightforward, and people didn't seem to get offended as quickly. How do I say that? Today, right, right. People get offended easily, but, and I'm sure people got offended, and they might have got offended, be like embarrassed about this. Because today, it's a natural feeling that we don't feel like, or we don't like to feel vulnerable in front of people, right? Anybody like to be feeling vulnerable in front of a person, meaning, you know, everything out there? And, but we know nobody's perfect, right? We know that, don't we? That nobody's perfect. Yet still, it's uncomfortable when people find out that we're not perfect. Yes?
The only perfect human ever actually wasn't technically human. It was Jesus, but he was a perfect human.
Right, right. Jesus is the ultimate example. And yes, he was perfect. But nobody else has been perfect since. Yet, with family, you know, the people we love the most, the ones we feel most comfortable, we could be ourselves. Hopefully, we could be ourselves around our family. Right? And I feel like that's Paul's idea of the church. It's this huge family. Right? That's what I picture when I read this, is that it should have been a family. It's kind of like reading that letter at a reunion. Right? Now, it's a huge, huge family. And sometimes your members, or your distant members, you might be not so happy that they're there, right? It is said that we can't choose our family. And there's an old saying, and it goes, but I like to think of it is that you can't choose your family, but you can choose to be friends with your family. You know, they're still family. You know, they may need your help. You may need their help in what they're going through. Next, Paul urges the true companion to help these ladies. And we don't know exactly. Maybe Paul is talking about a specific person. In the Greek, the word true companion is syzygos. And we know how Greek names go, right? It can be all over the place. So it very well could have been a specific person. But it fits. It fits. A lot of people have their names, and the meaning of those names is who they were. A true companion. Companion. You know, it could talk about those who worked with these ladies. True friends of these ladies. You know, a true friend should be the ones who want the best for them, who want them to be happy, who wants to help them. Then he goes on in Clement and the rest of the fellow workers whose names are in the Book of Life should also be there to help their sisters. Now, whose names are written in the Book of Life? Or who's, what is the Book of Life? Huh? You don't know. God bless you. Yeah.
Did you know that blessing actually came from the Mormons because they thought it was like a relief of their spirit?
I think it was
the Black Plague, actually.
Yeah, it's been around for a long time, and there's, it was, yeah. They thought it was something bad, and they just mean that God bless you because you don't want evil spirits being around you. Or you don't want to be sick. I've never heard that. I don't know. I've heard it was older than Mormons, but I don't know. So where was I? Book of Life.
It's everybody who like actually believes in Jesus.
Yes, it is. So up in heaven there's a Book of Life. It is in there. If you believe in Jesus, if you truly believe and you put your trust in Jesus, your name's in that book. So it's everybody who believes. So this would include just part of the church. It should have included the whole church. The whole church should be there for those ladies to help them out. And that's the way it should be. That's the way the church should be. That's the way the family should be, is willing to help those in need. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Noah?
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice.
So Paul says rejoice twice, right? Why does he say it twice?
Because he means it.
Because he means it, right? He really means it. He really wants to emphasize to rejoice. Right? And it sounds, you see on the very end, it's an exclamation mark. It sounds like a command, right? Because it is. It's a command. He's telling people to do this. And the reason he's doing that is because a lot of times people don't rejoice, right? It's kind of our choice. Joy is up to us. You know, we can focus on the bad things, and it's easy, and it's a trap to focus on the bad things, or we can focus on the blessings that we do have. In Proverbs 15:15, Stephen?
All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is
Mary.
Of a merry heart has a continual feast.
So what does that mean? People who are afflicted. People who feel like they're down on themselves, right? Huh?
Just that word or like the whole verse?
Well, let's just start with the first part of the verse. All the things who are afflicted are evil. So who are the afflicted? What does afflicted mean? Anybody? Afflicted is that the people would feel like, you know, the afflicted, the victim, he gets hurt. I'm hurt. It's saying that all those things that the people that are down focused on the bad things, you know, all their days are going to be bad. But those who have a merry heart, right? What is merry heart? It's not talking about a person.
Happy.
Happy, right? It's like Merry Christmas. That's how you spell Merry. That way it's the happiness. I have a happy heart. I have a continuous feast. I mean, it's going to be good. You know, those who are always the victim are focused on the negative. They're draining. Right? They're draining to themselves. And they're draining for those around them. However, those who focus on the good have hope. And hope can guide us through the day, and especially through the night. Where there is hope, things aren't so overwhelming. Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. Matthew?
Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand.
So epikeios, is the Greek word for gentleness. Now that word can also be translated patience, softness, a calm mind, forbearing spirit, or magnania. You know, it's a common word. We use it all every day, right? Probably learned in elementary school. Yeah, of course. I'll just tell you what it means because I know you already know, but just in case somebody out there doesn't know it. It's able to bear trouble calmly. You know, you have cool heads when things are panicked, right? When things are bad. So gentleness is all these things rolled up into one, you know, expression or action, if you will. And that is how everybody around us should see us. That's what Paul is saying. It's like everybody around us should see us as that, as calm during trouble, as being gentle, meaning that you're nice, a soft touch. You're nice to people, right? You're not cold-hearted. Huh? Now, the Lord is at hand is the second part of that verse, right? The Lord is at hand. It kind of speaks of a present meaning and also a future meaning. You know, God is with us. You know that, right? God lives inside of us. He's always with us no matter where we're at, no matter what we're doing. And if we keep that knowing, that knowledge in our head at the time, it just might make us second guess what we're doing. Right? Because he is right there with us. Now, also, Jesus is going to come back someday. You know, he said he was going to do, and he's always kept his promises. Right? Nobody knows when it's going to be, but it could be this afternoon. It could be tomorrow. It could be 20 years from now.
It could be like in a couple of seconds.
It could be. Could be. Yes.
In Revelation, Jesus comes back, but it wasn't like it wasn't good. Jesus came back in judgment.
Right. Right. He's going to come back as a lion, not a lamb. Yeah, he's... Right. So, it's pretty important, you know, we don't get our hand caught in the cookie jar when he comes back, right? You know, that's an old saying, but what does it mean? Hand in your cookie jar.
You want to get beaten something bad.
Right. You don't want that sin's really, you have to judge whether is that sin worth being caught in it when Jesus comes back. You know, and the reason why we don't know the exact date, I feel like, because if we knew the exact time and date, I think there would be a lot of people who are really good the hour before that, don't you think?
Yeah.
But we don't know, so we should be good now, right? Now is the time. It's not, oh, well, I'll get right with Jesus later. Now is the time. You know, in order for us to stand fast, and that's what Paul is talking about, is to stand fast because we have that promise of citizenship. Remember, we have that promise of citizenship. In order to stand fast, we need to control our emotions and have control of our thoughts. Being the same mind in the Lord. Erotica and Synecdoche, you know, they had a conflict. And that, like I said, those things happen, but still we can't let Little conflicts ruin the fact that we belong to the same family. That Jesus loved them both enough to sacrifice himself. You know, both of them have the end goal was the exact same. They're both written in the book of life. They're going to be with each other forever. You know, rejoice in the Lord always. You know, things are hard from time to time. You know, rejoice in the fact that Jesus has made room for you at his table, no matter what. Show gentleness to all men, and the Lord is at hand, right? Now, you might be thinking, Gary, gentleness is an action, not a thought. Yes, I'm talking about thoughts, but all of our actions start with our thoughts. Our thoughts about how am I going to treat this person? Be gentle with those around us. Because God is guiding us, let people see his love in you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 through 5. I forgot where we were. Okay.
For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for putting down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ.
So it talks about thoughts, right? Those thoughts that go against God. Those doubts. We need to hold those thoughts captive. We need to capture them, contain them, and kick the doubts to the curb and install hope. We need hope. Close in prayer.